Republic Yemeni number one. Fuck everybody who's a bot. Fuck them all, you're a bot. What's up, everybody? Mike Eshak, a.k.a. Public Yemeni number one in the freaking house. Thank you for being here. My sound effects work. They work.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Again, this is the sound that my dick makes when I get when it gets hard. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Shut up. Okay. First off, those of you that are only listening, appreciate you for listening. I've been noticing that my listeners have been going up recently. I'm now at 32,000 followers on Instagram and growing. A few of my videos have been going viral. I've been posting every day, planning on posting even more every day. So thank you for everyone who's been liking and following and subscribing to my videos. I've just been approached by a podcast manager who manages a bunch of big podcasts. We're going to end up having a phone call on Friday. Who knows? I might be taking this podcast to a network. Who knows? Other than that, I want to say thanks to everyone who came to Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle to watch myself and Ahmed El Kadri co-headline. That was my first time doing my own produced show. It was pretty good. You know, I learned a lot, and I'm looking forward to doing some more. Want to thank everyone who came out, man, to the show. It was great to see some Yemenis out there. What was also cool was great to see me doing my bacon joke. And I have a real fun act out in the bacon joke involving an eagle, a bald eagle. And I love doing that joke, but I was kind of worried when I did the joke, thinking that the Arabs in the audience would be mad. And then afterwards, all these Arabs and Muslims bought my Drop Bacon Not Bombs t-shirt. So if you're listening to this, you can go online on my website under shop and order you a Drop Bacon Not Bombs t-shirt. I think, and it was crazy. You had all these Yemeni people buying it from me. And then they whisper and they're like, hey, I eat bacon. Not turkey bacon. I eat real bacon. I'm like, damn. We all going to hell. I really think that hell's going to be the place where all the cool people are. You know what I mean? Except for Hitler. But the Rolling Stones are going to be down there. The music's going to be good down there. We will be roasting bacon and ourselves. But I wanted to say thank you to everyone who came to the show. Thank you for coming to enjoy laughter. And not taking everything seriously, right? Which it seems like a lot of people are taking too many things seriously. My pedophile clip that, where I roast a guy in the audience for being a pedophile, that has gone super viral. We're over 2 million views on that one. And it's funny, you know, you still get people coming going, I don't think that joke is funny. And then I go, well, that makes you a pedophile. It's jokes, people. I don't think kids are to blame for pedophiles. It's just funny to think about. It's funny to play with logic, right? And then twist that logic in on over its head and then make you think that something funny is also logical, which is stupid. This is why it's funny. And people who cannot laugh at stuff like that, it just goes to show that you're stupid.
Come on, man.
So yeah, thank you for everyone who's tuning in right now. I appreciate it. I got some things in store for you. You know, I'm still going off the last podcast where I was talking about Ray Kurzweil, the futurist who predicts the future of technology. And I went off on, you know, how it's crazy that I'm dealing with people that I know saying some really stupid things that prove to me that they're not thinking. And that scares me because these are people that are smart enough to be able to think through things. And they're not. They're just, they're NPCs. They are bots now. They are robots. You know? Like, you know how when you go on a website and you try to log in and then the CAPTCHA comes on and it's like, prove to me you're not a robot. How many traffic lights are in this picture? We need that for real life somehow. You know, because if simulation theory is real, then sure enough, some of us are bots. Like, I'm almost at a point right now where I feel that the people I know that I used to, I still love them, but the people, I mean, even in my family, people that I know who I always thought should know better are right now running on a script. They're void of thinking. Like when I said that the one person I was talking to who said that they were liberal and they would never own a gun and they think that all cops are bad. And when I said, okay, so then when somebody breaks into your house with a gun to kill your kids, are you going to call the cops? And they go, I'm going to do everything I can in my power not to call the cops. Well, then how are you going to protect your family, bro? I'm sorry, man, but that's stupid. And that person really got mad at me still for pointing that out. And they still couldn't understand how dumb what they... I mean, listen, I say dumb things all the time. And sometimes people point me out. When they point me out, I retract. When they point me out, I'm sitting there and I go, hey, wait a second. Damn, what I said was really stupid. Like, okay, this is one time I remember... me and my good friend Mike McGettigan and Sean McGettigan were sitting down and we were talking about charging our cameras while we go camping. And I was high as fuck and I was like, oh man, it'll be easy, bro. All we got to do is just bring a bunch of batteries. And then you take the battery and you use it on the camera. And then when that runs out, you take that battery and attach it to the other battery and have that battery charge that battery so we can reuse that battery and just keep doing that all over again. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's not how batteries work. And then I thought about it. I was like, damn, that's the dumbest thing I've ever fucking said. At least I had the ability to be like, oh, yeah, you're right. Instead of getting offended and being like, what? No, I'm not that stupid. Anyway, so here I am on a tangent one more again. And I don't know. Well, anyways, the reason why I'm smoking a cigar and drinking Canada Dry sugar, zero sugar, and a cup of cold brew coffee is because I'm doing Sober October. And now I'm smoking cigars like I'm some fat yacht owner or something, you know? The cigar is a way for me to kind of handle my oral fixation that I had with, you know, smoking cigarettes back in the day. And then when I quit cigarettes, I ended up smoking weed to replace it. You know, and it helped, right? Because I still had something to do with my hands. And I was getting high, which feels great. And you know, the amount of weed you smoke is going to be nowhere close to the amount of cigarettes you smoke. Before I quit smoking cigarettes, I literally was, before I quit smoking cigarettes, I was smoking 3 packs a day just before I quit. And I realized, you know what, I'm going to quit. And then instead what I got is I got a one hitter. I don't know if anybody knows what a one hitter is. Sometimes they call it a dugout. It's a little wooden thing where you could put your ground weed inside of it. And then it has this little spring that when you open it, it pops up this pipe and the pipe looks like a cigarette. It's shaped like a cigarette. Sometimes they used to paint it to look like a cigarette. Right? So that it would look like you're holding a cigarette in your hand. And it was a way for you to be able to smoke weed in public and no one would think that you were smoking weed. Because from across the street, if you were like hitting it, like, oh, that guy's hitting a cigarette. He's not smoking weed. But it helped. It helped the transfer of the oral fixation. You know, I had this thing that I was doing with my mouth and my hands. And then when I quit, I remember reading saying that the oral fixation was the hardest thing to get over. So I was like, you know, let me just transfer it to weed. And I love weed, man. And I've been high every day since 1999. Literally. I can't remember the, I might have taken one. No, I don't think I've ever taken a day off. I've been high every day since 1999. And I think I've been overdoing it, right? And I think I'm glad I'm doing Sober October, because now I'm learning that, you know, there's a time to be high and there's a time not to be high, which is good. And the beautiful thing about weed is that it's not addictive. So even though I quit smoking weed, it hasn't been that hard. I haven't had that hard of a time getting over it. So, you know, weed was a safer transfer of my addiction. And it makes sense because I'm on day 12 right now and I haven't smoked any weed. Do I crave it? Sure. Yesterday was a hard day. Yesterday, I don't know what it was. Maybe I ate something that was spoiled, or I don't know, I got up on the wrong side of the bed or something, but I wasn't really feeling that great yesterday. And it was one of those days where I was like, man, if I could just get a hit of weed right now, it would be great. I had a show yesterday in a bar. The set went great. Did it completely sober. No drinking, nothing, which is also a really good sign. So I'm really glad that I'm doing Sober October. I'm glad that I'm not smoking weed this entire month. I'm glad that I'm learning that I have, I'm more engaging in conversations when I'm not stoned. I do like being stoned though. It feels great. But I'm starting to realize that there's a time and a place, you know. I think weed is good for writing. I think weed is good for creative endeavors. I think weed is good for editing videos because it helps me lock in and just focus and be content with sitting down in front of a computer for hours on end. You know, but I think it's good for me to learn how to do that sober too. So I think that's a beautiful thing. So Sober October, it's a pretty good thing. I think everyone should give it a shot. All right, let's get into it. I want to talk about the bots, man. So we was talking last time, and I kind of wanted to talk again about Ray Kurzweil. I really do. I really wanted to talk again about how this guy is. He's really tripping me out even more now. I've been thinking about him even more, about his predictions. You know, something today just got posted. I saw Duncan Trussell post a tweet that I'm going to end up playing for you guys later, which is going to blow your mind. Okay. I mean, AI is getting to a point where it is just mind numbing. Okay. Have you guys seen some of these AI picture generated things? So I downloaded one of those apps, right? One of them was called Photo Leap. Okay, so I'm gonna put a picture up here, and basically you write down what it is that you want it to draw a picture of, and then it will just do it. And it's really crazy too, because for the most part, if any of you ever done mushrooms or any type of psychedelics, that's what some of these pictures look like, man. It's almost kind of freaking creepy too. At the same time, it's kind of eerie, and it's easy to say that, like, right now the AI hasn't gotten to a point where it's able to do shit perfectly, but man, is it getting close. Jason Bacon says there's an AI rapper that got signed. Oh shit. Jason, if you can share the link with me, I wouldn't mind pulling that up if that's possible. Okay, here's my cat. My cat wants to be on the podcast. What's up, kitty? Speaking of kitties, one of the first pictures I asked the AI to do was Superman cat, is what I said. And it came up with this picture here. Let me see if I can make it smaller. I didn't prepare. Look at this. That's Superman cat. Isn't that crazy? It even built a city in the background. And I mean, that it drew this picture in practically no time, right? And then I said, all right, you know what? I want to try another picture. And I said, making babies. And then it came up with this goofy ass thing. Look at this weird ass picture. It's just a gaggle fuck of babies. See if I can make it smaller. There you go. Look at that. Weird. That's what it thought about making babies. It made this picture right here. It just goes to show where, I mean, if AI is able to do that right now, and we're in the beginning of that. Imagine what's going to happen fucking 5 years from now. What's going to be real? Like, we are already having the news. We already have the news lying to us, showing us fake footage sometimes. Like, one that I really remember was after 9/11, when the planes hit the towers, instantly they showed video of Palestinians in the street cheering. And then they tried to say, look at the Palestinians all happy about what happened to America. And then later on, what do we find out? We found out that the video that they showed us was video that happened in the past, and the Palestinians were in the street celebrating something else. And they faked it. So we already know there's fake news. We already know how the news is fucking with us and shit. And now we have AI that's able to do this. What's going to be the next thing? What is going to be the next thing? Now, I'm going to show you some of these other pictures, man. They are creepy. Oh, my God, are they creepy? Watch this. Let me see if I do it this way. Will it? Oh, no, don't do that. It still makes it so big. Look at that. Look at this shit, man. Look at this weird-ass fucking picture. Look at this weird-ass picture. I said making babies. And it's a picture of a man with a weird face. And he's at a table. And next to him, it seems like a woman crouching over the table. And it looks like she's kind of working and making babies with their hands. And then, like, on the table is this, like, it's like if you took three babies and mixed them up into a pretzel. And then everybody there's white except for one black baby on the side. So the one black baby on the side is standing and looking. So it looks like they made the black baby first. And then now they're like, no, that was a mistake. We need to make a white baby because we're white. So freaking weird. So weird. It's almost very creepy. Let me show you another picture. And then I decided to go dark. I was like, okay, give me a picture of. And for this picture, I said, I said the end of humanity is what I did. And look at this weird ass picture. It looks like we're looking at a planet from space, and it drew this like hot planet, almost like a sun that's getting really close to our planet. And then you can see parts of the planet being burnt by that. So it's almost as if the AI is like, oh, the end of humanity is going to be global warming. Creepy. Here's another one that's really, this one was super eerie. Explain this shit to me. This is the same thing. End of humanity. So fucking weird. And it looks like a newspaper article, but from an alien race. And it's got this weird alien head with a beard and a weird, weird shaped skull. Right? And then you have, and then it's like the AI tried to make like letters, and the letters were, they don't make sense. It's like some other language. Like, I mean, I've seen stuff like this when I was tripping on mushrooms. You know, I remember seeing like, my brain started making like languages that seemed like alphabets from another universe or something. This one here is super creepy, man. This one's like so hard to explain. And then there's pictures of like something at the bottom, but it looks like a newspaper article, but then there's hieroglyphics everywhere. It's almost as if these are the Anunnaki, right? Like the Anunnaki is going to come and destroy us. And this is their newspaper. Here we are, fucking over the earth. Here's another end of humanity. Hold on. This is a real creepy one. Hold on. So weird. Look at this shit. What the fuck is that, bro? And it's really weird. Like, I know this stuff is being done randomly, but something so eerie about it when you look at these pictures that make you go, is the AI just coming stuff like off the dome, like just randomly, or it almost looks like, man, are you showing us something that's real? And maybe that's just how dumb our dumb brains are, man. I asked it to draw Skeletor, and it did this. And I have to admit, man, this is a way better Skeletor than it was in He-Man. That's a cool-looking Skeletor with the blue eyes and everything. And I'm sure the AI is, like, tapping into the internet to try to, like, come up with what it is. But this is just fascinating to think about, you know? To think that where computers are going. This one here, I asked it to draw me a picture, and it's got I think I use a different app for this one. Oh, no, here we go. I think I use a different app for this one. I forget which app I used for I guess that one's too big. Some of these are just way too big. I said, draw me a picture of a man shooting a robot. These pictures are really big. Look at this. This is just, it's a really weird picture of a dude crouched over wearing a hat, khakis, and a blue shirt. And then he's got some weird device in his hand that kind of looks like a gun and almost like a remote control. And then there's like some type of a robot with, listen, man, all I'm saying is that AI is getting to a point where it's becoming very creepy. I asked it to draw me a picture of a Yemeni girl. And I think I chose the wrong one. I wanted to give it something simple, you know? And look at this picture. Wow. I mean, to think that we are at a point right now where you can just type in something into AI and it would at least come up with a picture that kind of makes sense. Like, this is something that makes sense. But I don't know. At the same time, I'm like creeped out by it. And it just begs the question, you know, like if we are going to create a simulation, are we living in one? And I played this video before, but I'm going to play it again. This is a video of a conference in a science conference. And this one here, the famous Neil deGrasse Tyson is hosting this conference. And James Gates, who's a string theorist. Now I'm too stupid to explain string theory, but basically it's using very intricate mathematical models to explain the universe. And I guess these things are so spot on that, like, you give it an equation and then it spits back an answer. And then these answers are starting, you know, are kind of true in many respects. And then he stumbled on this. And to me, this is just something that really, really trips me out. And let's just fast forward here.
Oh my God. Where have you, so where has this pursuit taken you?
Oh my God.
Where have you landed?
Why would you ask that?
I'm asking you that here and now. It's New York City. It's okay. March 7th.
Well, partly it's taken to these very strange images that are behind your head right now. These are pictures of equations. I've been, for the last 15 years, trying to answer the kinds of questions that my colleagues here have been raising. And what I've come to understand is that there are these incredible pictures that contain all the information of a set of equations that are related to string theory. And it's even more bizarre than that, because when you then try to understand these pictures, you find out that buried in them are computer codes just like the type that you find in a browser when you go surf the web. And so I'm left with the puzzle of trying to figure out whether I live in the Matrix or not.
This is crazy.
You're blowing my mind at this moment. So are you saying your attempt to understand the fundamental operations of nature leads you to a set of equations that are indistinguishable from the equations that drive search engines and browsers on our computers?
That is correct. So,
Wait. I have to just be silent for a minute here. So you're saying as you dig deeper, you find computer code writ in the fabric of the cosmos?
Into the equations that we want to use to describe the cosmos, yes.
Computer code.
Computer code. Strings of bits of ones and zeros.
It's not just sort of resembles computer code. You're saying it is computer code.
It's not even just is computer code. It's a special kind of computer code that was invented by a scientist named Claude Shannon in the 1940s. That's what we find very, very deeply inside the equations that occur in string theory and in general in systems that we say are supersymmetric.
Okay, so really quick. Basically, he's finding a computer code written in the fabric of the universe. And every time this computer code keeps coming back out saying that this computer code is in the fabric of the universe. So not only is it any other computer code, it's a specific computer code created by one of the first computer scientists that basically runs our computers today.
Time to go home, I think. I mean, where are we going to go? So are you saying we are all just, there's some entity that programmed the universe and we're just expressions of their code?
Well, I didn't say that. Some of those
like the Matrix? That's what you said.
Some of those codes are showing on the screen behind you right now. They don't look like codes, but these pictures, which we call adinkras, are graphical representations of sets of equations that are based on codes. So this is, in fact, to answer your question more directly, I have in my life come to a very strange place because I never expected that the movie The Matrix might be an accurate representation of the place in which I live.
Jim, may I give you an argument that we don't live in The Matrix? A very simple argument. There's a property that the real world right down here has that no mathematical equation has, that no solution of an equation has, that no abstract object has. Here in the real world, it is always some moment, which is one of a series of passing moments. And a mathematical equation doesn't have a flow of time in it. It just is. No, and this means...
But Lee...
Wait, let him finish. Wait, I need him here and now.
This means that to me... that the ancient metaphysical fantasy that we, quote, are just mathematics cannot be true, because in a world that was just mathematics, there would be no moment of time.
Why isn't there math as a function of time?
I'm sorry.
We solved these are differential equations.
But then you lay the solution out.
You're mistaking. You keep using the word is, and I'm talking about the word describe.
Let me finish, please,
since we started with my discussion. The point is that it's fun to talk about some deep metaphysical essence that sits behind physics. But for some of us, it's about trying to find the most accurate way to describe where we live. And so my statement is that in the description of our universe, that is a supersymmetrical universe, which we were going to test in the LHC. If you believe that description, I can show you the presence of these codes. That's my...
Jesus, I don't even know what the fuck to think about any of that. I've seen this video so many freaking times, and I still don't know what the fuck is going on. Apparently, the other scientist was saying that, you know, sure, your string theory may be showing that, but it doesn't show the passage of time. I don't know what to make of that. But the fact that he's finding computer codes written in the fabric of the universe, and it's not just any computer code, it is a specific computer code that was created by a scientist in the 1940s. What the fuck, dude? So we might be living in a simulation. And within this simulation, we might be making another simulation. And there's an idea that we are already in a simulation that was created in another simulation that was created in another simulation. So we're like in this inception simulation shit. Now, Ray Kurzweil, I talked about last time, the guy who believed that human beings were going to merge with technology and that we are going to live in paradise. His critics say, no, that's not going to happen. In the last podcast, I even told you that I had hope in humanity. I was like, yo, we going to be good, man. We going to make this shit work. But then, like I said, after the pandemic, I started realizing how dumb we all are. And then especially people who are really smart, who should be able to think critically, are not doing it. Everyone's choosing a side. And each side, whether it be left, right, Democrat, Republican, whichever, whatever it is, people just buy into the script, the programming of that side. You know, and I hate to use the example over and over again of the one person that told me that they are liberal, they won't have a gun, they believe all cops are bad, and if someone was to break into their house and attack their family with a gun, they would do everything in their power not to call the cops because they believe all cops are bad. I'm sorry, man, but you're running on a script. You are not a human. I almost believe that people like that, if we are in a simulation like the Matrix, then there are projections of the simulation that are not real people who I believe politicians are. This is just me just thinking creatively, not that it's real. But like, you know, I look at someone like Obama, I'm like, that guy's a bot. That's not a real person. That's an Agent Smith, right? What type of person is going to sit there and say, hey, vote for me, and I'm going to end all wars. And then we vote for him, and he blows up and bombs way more than his predecessor. We hated George W. Bush. I hated that motherfucker. He lied us into war. He's a fucking war criminal. And then people voted for Obama thinking that we were going to get something different. He promised something different, and then as soon as he got in there, he did the NPC bot thing and he lied to us and he increased the bombing. I have this joke where I was like, Obama bombed everything. At one point, Obama ran out of bombs. Obama has bomb in his name. It's almost like the simulation is just telling us. They told us ahead of time. This motherfucker's going to bomb everything, but we still fell for it. And the thing is, we fell for it twice. So next video I want to show is a video of Ray Kurzweil, the man that I've been talking to for a while, the guy who's been predicting the future of technology, and the question that he was asked if we are in a simulation. So check this out. Nope, that's the wrong one. This one.
Ray, some very intelligent scientists have now...
And I know it's kind of quiet.
...that maybe we're living in a simulation. Is there any coherence to this?
Well, first of all, it's not clear there's much difference between a simulation and reality. Sometimes I talk about we'll be able to simulate human intelligence, and then some philosophers come and say, well, that's a simulation and that's not the real thing. And if you simulate something as precise as the original thing, I don't think actually there is a difference. This universe could have been created by some super intelligence in another universe. So maybe our whole universe is a junior high school science experiment of some super intelligent junior high school student in another universe, and maybe she won't get such a good grade given the way things are going. But still, it's a real universe, and it follows certain laws as best we can tell, and maybe that junior high school student intervenes sometimes. You know, if we actually were able to contemplate that intelligence, that junior high school student, it would seem like a god from any perspective that, you know, the religious texts talk about. But that's a plausible scenario, because we will get to a point where our civilization will be sublimely intelligent, and we may actually be able to create another universe because we'll have enough command of physical interactions. Another possibility is that our universe actually runs on a computer, because people have examined physical laws as a set of computational processes. And it's really quite plausible to say our universe is a computer. We have this idea, at least in the Western philosophies, that what really is true of the universe, that fundamentally it's a bunch of stuff. It's a bunch of particles and energy, and it's real physical stuff. And the stuff can maybe
Oh no, what happened? Why are you freezing, bro?
We have this idea.
Does it freeze here? Oh no.
Energy and
it's real physical stuff. Oh, I guess I didn't download it all the way or something. Can maybe Oh no. Well, even what he was talking about there, let me see, maybe I can pull this in again.
Ray,
because
some very...
Oh, yeah, I guess it didn't download right. I'm sorry about that, guys. It looks like it downloaded, didn't download right, and then it froze. But basically, he was talking about, remember I was watching, and he was like, the atoms that we have are practically mathematical processes. And even to hear him talk about the idea that we might be in some high school experiment of some super intelligent being in another universe is kind of scary, man. Right? Like, what if we are just pixels? What if this is just nothing but what it is? That's why I always had the idea, you know, that like as science progresses, it seems to be making religion make more sense. Right? Because when I was a Muslim, we were always told, hey, this universe was created by God as a test, to test us, to see if we are good souls and good humans, and that we could evolve ourselves into a better state of being. And now we have science kind of coming to the conclusion that that might be a thing, that maybe we are in a simulation. Now, I've heard other people speculate that, you know, it's possible that this simulation is actually a training ground for creating highly intelligent souls, so that when you progress to the next dimension, that you are ready and that you are moral and that you are a good-willed person, so that when you when you move over to the next dimension, whether it be heaven or just another dimension, that once we go there, we've already went through the training of this simulation. That trips me the fuck out. I don't know what else to say other than it's kind of scary when you hear smart people like this. And you could find all kinds of videos of guys like Ray Kurzweil and other scientists that really break down that we might actually be living in a simulation. Now, one more thing that I want to play for you, and I don't know if you guys heard this. Well, before I do that, Jason Langley sent me this article from Rolling Stone. White guy involved with controversial AI rapper FN Mecca frequently used the N-word in old hardcore band lyrics. Now, I wish there was audio for me to hear this. But the one thing that I read, it basically said that Anthony Martin was no stranger to the music industry before getting involved with the controversial AI rapper, who enjoyed a week-long stint at Capitol Records before being dropped amid fierce criticism that the project was an insulting caricature of black and hip-hop culture. Back in the day, Martini worked at a prominent management company, Crush Management. More recently, he served the CEO of Royalty Exchange. But before that, Martini, who is white, co-founded and fronted the New Jersey hardcore band E-Town Concrete and frequently used the N-word in his lyrics on the band's first two albums. And I guess now that... So, I don't know. I'm going to have to read into this more. I wish I had like audio to hear this AI rapper rapping. I don't really have time to be researching it right now. But real quick, I want to break down some of Ray Kurzweil's predictions here, okay? What is it? So in this article, it says, in 1990, 25 years ago, he predicted that a computer would defeat a world chess champion by 98. Then in 97, IBM's Deep Blue defeated Gary. And then it actually happened in 98. I told you it was a year off. So instead of 90, I think I said it was 95 and then 96, but it's 97, 98. He predicted that PCs would be capable of answering queries by accessing information wirelessly via the internet by 2010. He was right. He said that by early 2000s, exoskeletal limbs would let the disabled walk. Companies like Escobar Bionics and others now have technology that does just this and much more. In 1999, he predicted that people would be able to talk to their computers to give commands by 2009. While still in the early days in 2009, natural language interfaces like Apple Siri and Google Now have come a long way. In this article, it says, I rarely use my keyboard anymore. Instead, I dictate text and emails. He predicted that computers that computer displays would be built into eyeglasses for augmented reality by 2009. Labs and teams were building head-mounted displays well before 2009, but Google started experimenting with Google Glasses prototypes in 2011. Now we are seeing an explosion of augmented and virtual reality solutions and HMDs. Microsoft just released HoloLens, and Magic Leap is working on some amazing technology to name it two. In 2005, he predicted that by 2010, virtual solutions would be able to do real-time language translations in which words spoken in a foreign language would be translated into text and would appear as subtitles to a user wearing glasses. And apparently all that stuff is happening. So his predictions for the next 25 years. Okay? He said by the late 2010s, glasses will beam images directly into the retina. Then terabytes of computing power, roughly the same as a human brain, will cost $1,000. By 2020, most diseases will go away as nanobots, not 2020, the 2020s. He said that nanobots will become smarter than current medical technology. Most diseases will go away. Normal human eating, I talked about this in the last podcast, normal human eating can be replaced by nanosystems. Now, think about that. Talk about leveling the playing field. If you can rid the world of hunger, where does that take us? I mean, that imagine the amount of people in the world that don't have to try to survive to stay alive by eating, right? So, like, think about this. The agricultural revolution that happened thousands of years ago, it catapulted humanity to another technological landscape, because before agriculture, before we had the ability and know-how to make bread, baked goods, grains, and all of that stuff, human beings were just running around trying to fucking kill animals for protein and then using like nuts and berries and fruits to sustain themselves in that process. And when you think about it, that really slowed down progression of human technology, the progression of societies, because we were too busy running around trying to survive, right? And then now you have, third world countries that are still kind of in that rut, right? They can't advance anymore. There's probably a bunch of very, very smart people that could contribute to society and inventions, but they don't have the time because they're too busy trying to survive. Now imagine we have nanobots that reduce the need to eat. Imagine how far it's going to advance humanity, right? Before it was like, now we don't have to hunt for meat all the time. We can actually eat bread. There has been a documentary that I saw about ancient Egypt. I heard that they speculated that the workers that built the pyramids every morning would show up to a bakery, and the bakery would create this giant bread donut, right? It was a giant bread donut. And the workers would take that donut that had the hole, right, for the bread, and they would tie it to their waist. And while they were working, whenever they needed to actually eat, they would just take a piece of that bread to help sustain their energy so they can just continue working and advancing humanity. Now imagine we don't have to eat. Imagine how far that takes us, right? So he says that would do it. He said that by the 2020s, the Turing test begins to be passable. Self-driving cars begin to take over the roads, and people won't be allowed to drive on highways anymore. I really do believe that. I believe that, the idea of driving a vehicle by yourself is going to be considered dangerous. The new generations of humans are going to be looking at the idea of like, man, you just let people drive these hunks of metal at 100 miles an hour? How dangerous is that? So, yeah, and then it's going to get to a point where humans are going to get so soft, we're going to be like, no, man, you can't fucking drive alone. You got to let your fucking vehicle drive you for you, and you won't be able to drive on highways anymore. I could see that. He said by the 2030s, virtual reality will begin to feel 100% real. We'll be able to upload our mind consciousness by the end of the decade. By the 2040s, non-biological intelligence will be a billion times more capable than biological intelligence, us. Remember when I talked about foglets? By the 2040s, nanofoglets will be able to make food out of thin air and create any object in physical world at a whim. Remember I talked about that in the last podcast, that you'd be able to have these nanobots floating through the air, and you could say, hey, man, disassemble the couch molecularly, take all those molecules, and build me a girlfriend. A fuck robot. By 2045, we will multiply our intelligence a billionfold by linking wirelessly from our neocortex to a synthetic neocortex in the cloud. That's what Elon Musk is working on with Neuralink. So it's fascinating to think about all this stuff. And before I leave, I want to leave you guys on this. Just recently, I just saw this. The comedian Duncan Trussell posted this audio of AI creating a podcast with Joe Rogan talking to Steve Jobs. Now, it's kind of weird, right? You'll hear it. You can tell it's kind of off. It's almost exactly kind of like those pictures that I showed you with all of those weird ass, like I said, making babies. And you look at the picture and you're just like, good Lord, that's so creepy looking and weird. But yet at the same time, it's very impressive that it's able to do that just from me typing some words. So let's listen to this Joe Rogan podcast that was created completely by AI. Fucking fascinating.
This podcast is brought to you by Play.ht. All content is generated by artificial intelligence. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, freak bitches. Welcome to another episode of the Bro Jogan Experience. And on this episode, I welcome my friend who's difficult to describe. I'm fascinated by him, and I hope you'll be too. And he is weird and brilliant and sometimes totally insufferable. But my guest today has made some of the great technological products of our age, and he's always pushing the envelope in innovation. Like, for example, with his next computer, he developed a new programming language and operating system, and then he became even more famous for making three applications for that computer: a word processor, a spreadsheet, and an image editor. That just showed me that this dude was brilliant, had amazing taste, and I would just hope that I could be even like one-tenth of the genius that my friend today is. And I can't even say his name.
You can hear it's kind of weird.
So I was super psyched about having him in the house today. First time, or yeah, we've had you on before, but not for a long time. You're like Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore and Ghost. You're a memory from the past. So without further ado, my friend who is difficult to describe and wonderful, and I'm so grateful he came on the show.
How's it going? Good to see you, buddy. It's been a long time since I've been on the show. Wow. I've missed this. It's always fun.
How's it going? Come on. Tell me about Jobs. It's always good to see you, buddy. I'm so happy you came on, man.
This is crazy.
It's great to be on the show. Your audience is just so different from your normal Apple users, and that's a good thing. It's cool.
Well, you know, I was an Apple user way before I did this show. I've been a fan of yours and Macintosh since the 1980s.
Well, you know, we just kind of figured that out. Even though Apple is big, it's still like 0.5% of the total users.
You can almost hear that they're using Steve Jobs' voice from what do you call those conventions where he's introducing a new product, right, every year? Because you can almost hear like the echo. It almost sounds like they're grabbing Steve Jobs' voice and emulating it from those product launches.
People who listen to your show are a different group. They're weird.
Well, that's good. So you must be a fan of the show then, right?
I am. I am a fan. I mean, it's nice to sit back in the car and listen to you rant.
I've always liked you.
Well, appreciate that.
That was weird.
And we have some weird tie, which hooks into the fact that I was a big fan of Gizmodo, and I still go there all the time, but then there was some controversy or something.
Well, you know, we always thought it was very funny. We were as surprised to see that stuff as you guys were to see it on Gizmodo. It's kind of a game to us.
I got you, man. That's cool. So let's talk about some shit, all right?
All right.
So you studied at Reed College. Tell me about your time there. What did you learn? And you dabbled in Eastern mysticism there, right? Do you still go back and look at Hinduism and Buddhist texts and things?
Not texts and things. I actually took a course in that. I have a very deep belief that the people in the Indian subcontinent are most responsible for human civilization's current state, whether it's math or spirituality or the art of storytelling. Western civilization is based...
Which is fascinating that the AI made Joe Rogan ask that question, because there was this controversy with Steve Jobs that he did believe in Eastern mysticism. And one of the reasons why he died was because instead of doing Western chemotherapy, he wanted to do more of an Eastern, old, ancient way of fighting cancer. And some people were like, man, if he only was just like, hey, let's get chemo and not dabble so much in these old ancient ways of curing cancer or curing ailments, that he might still be alive today. So I find that very fascinating that the AI had Joe Rogan ask that question, and then that Steve Jobs. So it's a little weird, right? It's a little off. There's certain things that are off, but this is very new. What's it going to be like next year? What's it going to be like in 5 years? What's going to be like in 10 years, 20 years, 100 years? You think about fake news now. Just imagine you turning on the news, watching them showing you, hey, we are being attacked. And you're watching it and you're like, holy fuck, we're being attacked. Or that Joe Rogan just said this. Or they have like an interview with someone and it's not even real. It's all AI generated. What's even more crazier is imagine those nanobots get to where they are in 2045. Where Ray Kurzweil says that it'll be able to disassemble and reassemble and shapeshift things. Talk about deepfake then. They'll be able to deepfake an invasion. They will be able to make it look like Russia is invading us, not just on TV, but in front of us. Oh, God.
Based on the art of storytelling. There's a great Indian epic that's 10 times as long as the Iliad and the Odyssey combined. Those things all came from the subcontinent, and they're simply the foundation of what's made our society what it is. I view that stuff as much more important than, you know, philosophy as it is classically understood. There were two things that were really interesting about what was accomplished and what happened on the Indian subcontinent. One of them is the spiritual basis for life and the whole acceptance of the spiritual basis for life. Now, that may seem simple and obvious to some, but most people believe in God. That God wrote a book called the Bible or Quran or something. And that's the end of the story, but my take on it is okay. What does that mean? What I learned at Reed College is...
My take on it is okay.
That it's not about believing in God or not, or even what the right answer is. It's about asking the right questions, because most of our reality in our society is rooted in science, which we believe things because they're true. If something is true, then it's not a belief. So what they can't handle is the idea that anything spiritual is true. At Reed, I didn't know what the right answers were, but I knew how to ask good questions. I knew how to push back on things that didn't seem true to me. And I think that's perhaps one of the key elements in being very innovative and creative.
Do you still believe some of the things that you believed then? Are you semi-religious or something? Are you a Buddhist?
I get asked that a lot.
This is
crazy. I
think
it's impossible to have somebody show you who they are and what they believe in one interview or even over a period of time.
This is crazy.
I think the best way I can answer that is by telling you, I've told the story before, but it's well documented. I was on a plane flying home with Liz, and we were talking about reincarnation and ESP and whether there is anything more to this. And as I was thinking about it lying in my seat, I thought about our children, because I always knew, like, if we had a daughter, for example, I knew that she would really turn out to be, I don't know, sort of weird or very ambitious. That's true of my nephews, but I always thought that she would really be something. And when she was born, before we even saw her, I was just so happy that she was going to be born. And so I'm thinking about all this stuff, and I said to myself, there must be some purpose or meaning to life. Otherwise, why go on? And suddenly it hit me. It's not a God in the sense that generally people think of it. But there is some kind of deeper meaning to life, and it can't just be something that somebody made up, because if it was, it wouldn't be compelling. It would seem contrived, and everyone would see through it. So I think that the meaning and the purpose is by the cosmos, the nature of the cosmos, which is pretty bold thinking. I mean, I don't know how else to put it, but it's not religious in the way people usually talk about. Taking LSD was a profound experience for me.
What?
LSD shows you that there's another side to the coin, and you can't remember it when it wears off, but, you know, it washes over you and tells you that everything is connected.
Oh, my God. Okay. There's a part of the way he's talking there is a lot like listening to Kanye West. If you guys get a chance, watch Kanye West talking to Tucker Carlson. I don't know why anybody like looks up to Kanye West as being this intelligent thing. Even when Kanye West was on Joe Rogan's podcast, man, Joe Rogan was basically kissing Kanye's ass and not holding his feet to the flame because he knew how afraid Kanye was to be on the podcast. But if you ever listen to Kanye, bro, he never finishes a thought. He never finishes a thought. He just rambles and then rambles to another ramble and then adds another ramble and then just keeps going and going and he never finishes a fucking thought. And that's what this thing kind of sounds like. Maybe Kanye West is a bot.
Come on, man.
Anyways. All right, guys. I got to get going. We've been at an hour on this. Sorry that I haven't been uploading the podcast on the audio thing. As quick, I'm going to upload this right now. And those of you that are listening, thank you for listening. If you ever get a chance, come watch the live podcast. I have a number here, 313-915-4933. It's only live when I'm live. And sometimes I like to get callers to call in. And if you have any thoughts, bitches, complaints, let's get on the podcast and talk to me. But if you're listening to it, I really appreciate it. I got to get going. But I think this was pretty fascinating. This is like a subject that really blows my mind because I'm very skeptical about how the future is going to be. Man, I used to think it was going to be great, but now I don't know. Here's another thing about Ray Kurzweil that a lot of people don't know. It might make you kind of think that maybe he is kind of crazy. Ray Kurzweil he's in the 70s now. He takes so many pills and so many vitamins because he believes that he can keep himself alive long enough for the singularity, which is going to happen around 2045. And the reason why he wants to be alive for the singularity is if you make it to that time, you might be immortal. Technology may get to a point where none of us are going to die. Or the more conservative idea is that the lifespan of human beings within the next 10 years is going to jump to 300 years. So if you're not taking care of yourself right now, take care of yourself because you just might be able to live to be immortal long enough to see the destruction of humanity. And that might be fun. But another thing about Ray Kurzweil is he really believes he can bring his father back. And it's funny. It almost sounds like a mad scientist in a comic book. He has a strand of his father's hair, I believe, or something that has his father's DNA, and he believes that if he stays alive long enough for the singularity, not only will he be able to beat death and cheat death and be here to be immortal, but he also believes that technology will get to a point that you'll be able to resurrect old family members if you have their DNA. It's kind of wild, right? And it also makes you kind of think that maybe this guy doesn't really know what he's talking about. Maybe he's being optimistic because he's really hoping that he can get his father back. Another scientist who is trying to build a time machine. He is also motivated by wanting to bring his father back. He believes that if he can figure out time travel, that he'll be able to go back in time and save his father from dying. But the sad thing is one of his recent discoveries is he believes now that if the furthest back that you can travel is the day that the time machine was created. How crazy is that? So the idea is that if we were to build a time machine today, you would only be able to travel back to today. What if you were able to build a time machine and have it be housed in another bigger time machine and then you could take that time machine back in time. What then? Huh? All right, guys, I got to get going. Some things to think about. Stay vigilant. Don't be a bot. Be a critical thinker. Stop listening to politicians because they're just here to fucking get reelected. And don't believe in stupid ideologies. It's time to stay vigilant. It's time to stay thinking critically all the time because shit's going to get really weird. It's going to get to a point where we're not going to be able to understand what the fuck is going on. I hope I'm living long enough to see it. So, all right, guys, until next time, I will see you. You guys are awesome. Peace out.
Public Yemeni number one.